One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey listeners, let's take a moment for a shout out to our sponsor, Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for creators to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create an awesome website, connect with your audience, and sell anything all in one place, all on your terms. Even if you don't know where to start with creating a website, Squarespace has you covered with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally created layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people. Flexible payment options make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So, ready to get started? Head over to squarespace.com/gamescoop for a free trial. And when it's showtime, use our special promo code GAMESCOOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Now, let's dive back into GAMESCOOP. Come get some. Beware, I live.
IGN GAMESCOOP.
Disturbs the entire
time. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me today, Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Dan Stapleton.
Ahoy.
Marty Sliva.
Hey.
Who has just returned from Japan.
Yeah,
Japan.
I'm not jet lagged either.
He was sent on a very important mission.
Yes.
To find the coolest whiskey bar in the world.
We did find it.
Let's ask him if he found it. Did you find Bar Hermit in Shinjuku?
No, we didn't. Crap. So I know that was one of my missions, but we found another whiskey bar. And its owner was the producer of the first three Castlevania games. And so he told us a bunch of stories about Kojima that I probably shouldn't share. Lovely stories.
Viewers, we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about The Elder Scrolls Online, Tamriel Unlimited. We're going to cross the streams, talk about game streaming. But first, the latest...
Never cross the streams, Damon.
No, sometimes...
You said that would be bad.
We're going to cross.
Are we talking about pee?
The latest last gen game bundle to be remastered, brought to current gen systems, is Borderlands The Handsome Edition.
Yeah.
This is going to collect Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel.
Notably not Borderlands 1.
Nope.
No.
They will be $60 together, one pack, and they include all the downloadable content, which is... At least for Borderlands 2 was a very substantial
that was years worth of
amount.
Yep. A lot of it was really good too.
Yeah.
And there's still content coming out for the pre-sequel.
Mm-hmm.
That's out March 24th.
Yeah.
I really, really liked Borderlands 2, and I didn't play the pre-sequel, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah,
pre-sequel came out that weird time. It came out like October, and we were all already, you know, playing Xbox One and
Shadow
PS4 for a year. Yeah. So no one really wanted to go back and play something on 360 or PS3, so I think it's fine. I know a lot of people have, a lot of people seem to become curmudgeons about these remasterings and repackagings.
I like it.
I like it too, and I feel like all the curmudgeons always are like, well, they're all stupid, but man, if there was a Mass Effect trilogy, I'd buy that right away. It's like, well everyone just wants to buy the game they want to buy.
Yeah.
In a case like this, I think it's a little bit, it feels a little bit lazy just because they're not adding new content. They're not, like, these are basically the Borderlands games that came out on PC. Like, it looks the same as the PC version. Although, you can't even crank up the resolution as high. Like, it's not even as good as the PC version.
Dan's time to PC talk.
Yeah.
So let me tell you peasants how it is. PC Master Race!
Yeah. But, so I kind of refer to this kind of remastering as remasturbation. Like, it's not... It's not really adding
a
lot.
Is that what Crossing the Streams is?
It's not really adding anything.
It's messy today.
Yeah, it seems like this is the, like, I don't know why they didn't just put the pre-sequel out on new gen consoles in October.
Because they wanted more money, Dan.
But they would have had more money if they put it out when their marketing was at its peak. Now that's just happening again.
I mean, I do think $60 for this, like Borderlands 2 plus all its DLC, you know, still costs a reasonable chunk of change on Steam, for example, and same with pre-sequel. So I think it's a reasonable
price.
You'll
get it cheaper, though.
If you wait for a sale.
Absolutely.
But this will go on sale, too. So it's like, well, you know, that's not
what if it never goes on sale?
Ever?
What if it goes up in price?
Did you happen to see the crazy edition? I don't remember what they're calling it.
It's called the Claptrap in a Box edition. Comes with a remote controlled Claptrap.
That's like giant, right? Like, isn't it pretty big?
It's like, I guess, almost a life-size Claptrap.
Well, he's not real.
They're only making 5,000 of those, and they are $400.
Do you think like 10 years from now there's going to be Claptrap conventions where all the people who, like how there's DeLorean conventions, all the people who bought these dumb Claptrap things, like get together in like Poughkeepsie or something and drive their Claptraps around?
Yeah.
And then two of them get married, there's a Claptrap wedding.
That's definitely going to happen.
I want to go to a Claptrap wedding.
They're spending $400 on them, they should have those next year.
Yeah.
I'll buy, I am planning on buying this pack, even though I played through probably 20 hours or I played through most of Borderlands 2 on PC, because I had to play solo on PC. I mean, I didn't have to, but everybody had moved on and I was just sort of playing it on my own. So this new edition is going to come out. People like you, Damon, will be getting back into it.
And you want to play?
Yeah, we can be co-op buddies.
Okay. This got me thinking, what are other, I think we've touched on this before, but we've never actually had the official talk.
It's getting real.
The other remastered editions we want.
There's one obvious answer: Mario Galaxy 1 and 2.
Mario Galaxy 2 just came out.
But it's not remastered. It's not remastered.
That's true.
At all.
Yeah. That is unfortunate. Oh,
that is.
I'm sorry, computer. I never played the B-roll for Borderlands, the handsome edition.
I'm sorry. You had it ready to go.
Claptrap's just really sad.
I had it ready to go.
Just imagine you can play a little bit of it now. Things.
Now is this?
Now we're playing a computer.
Now I'm just
computer.
There's some
play
words
B-roll
on the screen.
Beep, boop,
beep, beep.
What was the words?
Anyway, I don't have B-roll of Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, so we can just let this play while we talk about that.
The magic of B-roll.
Well, what I think that they should put out on new gen consoles is the original Crysis. Like that game is like, it still looks fantastic on PC to this day. Mm-hmm. It came out on 360 and PS3, but looked like garbage, you really kind of lose a lot of the majesty of Crysis.
Majesty.
Like that is an amazing game in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of paved the way for Far Cry. Far Cry came before Crysis, but
for modern,
later for modern Far Cry.
Yeah. Right. And it's kind of the wide, not wide open, but wide lane first person shooter. Lots of freedom, lots of interesting stealth. I still love that game.
What if there was a sitcom called Modern Far Cry?
Ooh.
Yeah. Just about a bunch of sociopaths who murder each other.
Yes. That would be a good
thing. I would play. I would like, because I played Far Cry on the consoles and that was kind of crappy. So I'd like to play it all pretty like
the original Far Cry.
Crysis.
Okay.
Yeah. With a Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Y instead of an I.
Crysis 2 and 3, I can kind of do without those.
Yeah. I have a feeling by the end of the year we'll see an Uncharted bundle.
Yeah. That was
Uncharted
gonna be
1, 2, 3. Probably with some sort of multiplayer beta for 4.
I hadn't thought about that, but that seems like an obvious choice.
One of the ones I would like to see, which we were talking about earlier, a massive gap in sort of my gaming library, was Fallout 3 and New Vegas. I just didn't play them. It was just at a weird time. Like, I didn't play a ton of games the years those came out. So I would love if 3 and New Vegas came out and they weren't all broken and weird.
That would be nice if they just, like...
I know what Dan's going to say.
Fixed.
Well, no.
What? Curveball!
Yeah.
Yeah, well, mods would kind of do that. No, I think, like, another one I would like to see... I actually just forgot what it was, so I'm going to pass it to you.
I would...
Madden 2011.
I'll think of it in a second.
No, I mean, I think a Fallout... That's the... like, I played Skyrim on PC, and yeah. I did play Fallout on consoles, but I own it on PC, and I've sort of dabbled in that. And mm-hmm. if you have, you don't even need, like, the games are old enough now that you don't even need some crazy supercomputer to run it in settings that are far beyond whatever you would have seen on consoles to begin with. So it's already sort of, like, anything that's available on PC, the sort of majesty of an HD remake for me sure. is, like, a little bit lessened, even though I'm not, like, a crazy hardcore PC gamer. Like, yeah. but something like Uncharted or Mario Galaxy, like I said, like that's the only way you're really going to get to see that in, you know, 1080p or, you know, sort of gorgeous graphics.
What about Boom Blocks?
Man, you're saying that as a joke.
I'm not saying that as a joke.
Blocks
I like Boom Blocks.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's one of the is a really awesome game.
Yeah. I still play it.
They should make real life Boom Blocks.
The other one I want to see
those are Jengas. Jengas.
No.
Jengas.
Not really the
Jengos.
I want to see a Gears of War collection that's like the Master Chief collection.
I could see us getting that. But actually, Marcus Fenix
yeah, but I wanted to include 4. Yeah. So I don't want to call it the
Judgment.
Yeah, the fourth one, the prequel. So I don't want to call it the Marcus Fenix collection.
Mario Fenix.
So I'd also like to see Half-Life 1 and 2 mm-hmm. and the episodes remastered. Yep. And like the mod team actually redid Half-Life 1 in mm-hmm. the source engine.
Yeah.
It's called Black Mesa. You can download that for free.
Is it still not finished? Though?
I don't think it's still not finished. Though they were making noise like they're going to announce something soon. They're probably going to put out
make some noise. Yeah. We're gonna finish Black Mesa, everybody.
Well, the only part of it that wasn't out was like the last levels, which are like the alien levels, which are kind of crappy.
Yeah.
Relatively. But I would love to see those. Just get a new coat of paint, and maybe Valve will do that themselves when the new Source engine comes out.
I really like. I mean, it's nice to get the updated HD graphics and you know all that, be able to have the functions of the PS4, you know, broadcast your gameplay and all that. But I really, even though Master Chief Collection is broken, like the promise of that, like combining it all into like one, like all the multiplayer maps, all 100 multiplayer maps in one package, like something like that for Gears or like Call of Duty would be incredible. Yeah. Like. To be able to have all that in one unified package instead of just like when they take that extra step instead of just like, okay, here's the three games again, like that's when it turns into something really special.
Although sure. when you're buying it digitally, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Dibitally.
That's not a real word.
You got them dibital games.
Although that's not a real word either.
Yeah, dibital downloads.
Marty, nothing was a real word until it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Was that what Billy Zane said in Titanic?
Yep. Yeah.
But when you've got the dibitals, you can it doesn't really matter if they're sold as a package or individually.
But even still for like matchmaking and stuff like that. Like Gears multiplayer for me was like really special. That might be my favorite multiplayer experience ever. And to be able to have that all access to all those maps all unified in one like Master Chief Collection style package would get me really excited.
If it worked when it came out.
Couple
I would like to see Skyrim.
Computer, ooh. Play B-roll.
Yeah. I loved Skyrim. I spent so much time with it but never finished it. But this is one of the games I think they should tweak a little bit and update and fix some of the problems. So I thought the loot game was not satisfying in Skyrim. And also, I kept encountering problems where, you know, you go into the dungeon, I would become encumbered, I have to go back to town and sell my stuff, but every time I go back to town, the shop has the exact same amount of money.
Yep.
So it's like not a real economy.
You had to wait a couple days. Yeah.
They need to make I had to like travel to several different towns to sell all my stuff and... Anyway, yeah. But I would definitely play a remastered version of this.
Yep. It's crazy how old Skyrim is. Like, I don't think about it as being a game that's like 3 years old, you know, or more than that, right? but it is.
But it's just amazing.
Yeah, that bear just got rocked.
Yeah. The other one I would like to play again is Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, man.
And include the Undead Nightmare in there.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, because that never came to PC even.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, famously never came to PC.
Yeah.
The whole game never came?
Yeah, never came.
Wow, that's actually...
That's really like good. The only Rockstar game that...
So have you played it?
I have not played it.
Oh, Dan!
There's a horse. You can whistle. He comes to you.
Red Dead's so good.
It's good.
I've heard good things.
And The Undead Nightmare was just such a cool idea.
Yeah, one of my favorite pieces of DLC.
For sure.
Yeah, actually, I love the game. Actually, wasn't wild about Undead Nightmare.
Well, you get spooked easily.
I thought no, it's not because I don't like spookies. Yeah. It's because everything is like melee focused. Like all the enemies run at you, and I felt it changed the gameplay. Like it's not hiding behind cover to shoot enemies anymore. And I didn't like that feel as much as the base Western.
Sure.
But the mood of it was obviously incredible.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Another news item this week, Elder Scrolls Online finally got a release date on consoles, mm-hmm. And they're finally ditching.
And surprising no one.
That subscription model.
It's going free to play.
Yeah. It's actually just turning into. On consoles, it's going to be called Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. And then the PC version is just morphing into Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited.
Which they do to try and get a new Metacritic page, really.
Yeah. Worked for Final Fantasy XIV.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's actually really... clever of them.
Yeah, they did that with Marvel Heroes. It's like, it's Marvel Heroes 2015.
The cinematic trailer that's playing now is actually incredible, the new trailer for it. It looks really cool. Really, I mean, it is cinematic, so who the heck knows what that means for like the gameplay, but in terms of setting the mood, it's great.
I mean, so, I doubt the gameplay is going to change drastically. It's not like Realm Reborn, right? They're not like completely scrapping the world.
No, so here are the deets.
Deets?
Yeah.
Get dim deets.
Comes to PS4 and Xbox One on June 9th. But the PC version will be updated to the new edition on March 17th.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll get it earlier. They're dropping the subscription fee, so it's just you buy it once, play it. There is an Elder Scrolls Online Plus service, which will give you full access to all downloadable content, a monthly allowance of crowns, which I'm told is an in-game currency, and bonuses to your experience and gold.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with every free-to-play MMO is the devil's always in the details. The devil's always in dim deets.
The deets.
Like, I think I'm a huge fan of Lord of the Rings Online, and I'm a huge fan of how it handles its free-to-play. Like, it's a game you can genuinely play for free, and the stuff that you do pay for the most part, is, content. You buy the expansion or buy a quest pack or buy whatever. But some games, like, famously, I didn't play it, but The Old Republic, I think they've changed it since then, but when it first went free-to-play, like, it was kind of awful.
They limited, the ability to run.
Yeah.
They limited a bunch of really stupid stuff that really, really crippled you. They limited the number of inventory slots you could have.
Yeah. Some
ability
of that stuff's
slots.
Pretty common. Like, buy bag space is pretty common. Well,
I misspoke. They've limited the ability slots on the UI.
What if in real life you couldn't run unless you had a certain amount of money?
Well,
if you were in a certain income bracket,
it's kind of the other way around. If you're carrying too much money, you can't run very fast.
Oh,
it's also kind of I'm not going to make the joke I was going to make, but
I'm glad.
So that's what I'm curious to see how the free to play in Elder Scrolls Online works, because I am I think I've talked about it on GameScoop many times. I like the game a lot.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of it, and I only stopped playing because I don't know if I've mentioned I had a kid. So as a father, I didn't have time for MMOs anymore, and really, I would have kept playing it if not for that.
Instead, you've just sunk hundreds of hours into Dragon Age.
That's true. Only when the baby goes to bed.
Yeah.
So I hope that Bethesda Online, or the studio, is that what they're called?
ZeniMax
Online is smart enough to say, take the long view and say, look, we want to get people on our side. And we want people to evangelize this game, so let's be pretty generous with the free-to-play model.
Yeah, especially since it's free-to-play on consoles is not a super well-explored space.
Like, there's DC Universe, but that's this is a big deal. Like, a AAA, huge budget, huge, potentially, hopefully, very polished, good MMO that's genuinely free-to-play that, if you want to transact, you get a bonus for $10 a month or whatever, but if you don't, you're not a second-class citizen. Like, that could be totally awesome. So I hope they're doing it right.
One thing I got confirmation on from Bethesda is that there is going to be no cross-platform multiplayer, either between consoles or between consoles and PC.
Yeah, not surprising, but disappointing.
It's something where especially with a free-to-play game, where the player pool is kind of what keeps that game going.
Yeah.
You need a bunch of players in an MMO to make it interesting to play. You need that social aspect. The players are the content in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So to have that segregated between three different populations is kind of a downer.
So the one thing I want to clarify is that some people have been comparing it to Guild Wars, where that's a game where you buy it and then it's genuinely free. Like, there is stuff that you can transact in the game, but really you just need to pay that once to buy the product and then it's free. And Elder Scrolls has been compared to that, and it's not that. It is more like what we consider a free-to-play game, where you buy it, then transact in an in-game store for content.
So you still will have to buy it on console. You'll have to buy.
No. It's more like Lord of the Rings Online, or Old Republic, based on what I understand. Although the details are still forthcoming.
Right.
Wait, Elder Scrolls.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
do. You have to purchase it. Like, you have to go to a store and purchase it.
Yeah, you have to buy the game.
Yeah, it's not free to download. Yeah.
Okay, so that is like Guild Wars then.
Sure, but we don't know how much it's like Guild Wars. So like, I don't want people to be too disappointed.
The game's not free to play. The game just doesn't have a subscription model.
No, you buy it and buy to play.
It's going to be a hell of a lot of DLC.
They're exploring a new model.
Yeah, buy to play.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how it all shakes
out. Sure. It's one of those things, I don't know. It's hard to articulate. So it is more like Guild Wars in that sense. I don't want people to be too overly confused.
Yeah. And Guild Wars is pretty popular for having that model, so... hopefully it will do just as well for Elder Scrolls.
Game is great. I hope it has a second chance.
Yeah. That'll be right before E3, like the week before E3.
Yeah. Right after Batman. Batman's that week.
Batman's the week before, I think.
Oh, the week before. Yeah, it's June 3rd. Yeah. It's second. It's one of those days.
Your birthday.
Yeah, I don't know when my birthday is. I have a lot of problems.
Well, speaking of free-to-play, Evolve.
Ooh.
Is not.
Evolve is out February...
10th?
Yes.
And apparently there is a game called Evolve Hunter's Quest coming to the App Store.
What?
This appeared on the App Store yesterday briefly before it was taken down.
Wow.
But not before people were able to grab the screenshots and the info. It is a free-to-play match 3 game.
That's what I was hoping for.
There is a free-to-play match 3 game based on Evolve.
Is that what's on?
Coming to it. Yeah, this is just one screen. I mean, it doesn't, it's not terribly exciting.
Old Markov.
That's what it'll look like on your phone. I just thought the choice of making a match 3 game was...
Interesting.
Yes.
Let's just slap a skin
so
on.
So a lot of games have companion apps now, right?
Yeah.
And this is like Evolve's companion app.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, it sounds a little bit more interesting than just a generic companion app to me. Like, if it's actually trying to do game, like, have a gameplay.
It does tie into the console and PC game where you can unlock art in the full game.
Okay.
And you can also watch replays of your matches from a bird's eye view in the app.
That's kind of cool.
Like, if you get super into the competitive aspect of that game, that's kind of neat to be able to, like, do play-by-plays of your own...
I'm assuming, I didn't see any internet chatter about this, I'm assuming people are making fun of it being a match 3 game. I have no problem with it because they totally work on mobile. Like, that's what people kind of want to play. Like, Threes is my most played mobile game, like puzzle games like that, so.
Does that count as a match 3 game?
No, it's not match 3.
It's literally matching threes.
Yeah.
But. No, well, that's true. It's not match 3, but I just mean, like, that style of game makes sense for mobile, so this doesn't offend my sensibilities at all.
Justin, he was not offended.
Sensibility still intact. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have it be that than like trying to shoehorn a first-person experience.
Like there was a pretty bad or so-so. It wasn't bad. It was mediocre. Borderlands mobile game that tried to be too much like Borderlands.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you probably should just do what makes more sense for the platform.
Sure.
And I was actually a big fan of how Watch Dogs did it. Having the mobile app interact with the console and PC by having an asymmetrical multiplayer game where, and in that case, the mobile player would control cops trying to stop you getting from point A to point B.
Yeah,
and that was a really good idea.
I think it'd be cool if the app for Evolve allowed a sixth person to sort of interact with the flora and fauna in a round that is currently going on.
Yeah, like the Hunger Games.
To anger some of the animals in the environment during a match, and then see if that you can just cause a ruckus. Yeah, you'd be like the Hunger Games.
Kind of. Wow,
that was a really long delay from the time that...
I mean, it's the distance. It bounced off that wall.
Got it.
Yeah.
It should be called Evolve. Like, causing a ruckus.
Cause with an apostrophe.
And cause is spelled with a K.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting news. Evolve, I'm curious to see how that is all going to play out. People were really hyped for that when it was unveiled, I guess just last year, right?
But now there's a lot of anger over, getting back to like free-to-play stuff. There are a lot of free-to-play style microtransactions in there.
In a $60 game. Yeah. Like they've pre-announced the whole slate of DLC coming, which is...
Which is significant stuff like extra monsters.
Yeah. Extra monsters,
you
extra
can get
hunters.
If you pre-order it, or you have to pay $15 if you don't.
Yeah, that stuff feels pretty gross.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. That's going a little far. It's a shame to see them do that to what looks like a really promising game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that just the base game is going to be plenty fun. It's a distraction, and it takes away from like the feel good. Like, hey, this game looks really good.
Yeah.
But there's this other stuff I'm not getting. What am I missing out on? Instead of concentrating on, hey, what I'm actually getting is good.
Yeah. And I mean, some of this is perception, maybe more so than reality. Like, I believe Turtle Rock when, you know, and I know enough about how games are made that, you know, content gets locked and you go into QA and the discs have to go be pressed, and then your team's just sitting there, like, sometimes for a long time, like months, and that's when DLC happens. Like, this is just because they announced, okay, we're doing this monster and this hunter and these maps, like, that's not content that could have just been on the disc, but they're holding it back to make more money, although that does happen sometimes too. But in this instance, when they say, look, no, like, this is stuff that we're still working on, it's going to be available post-launch, like, I get it, but maybe wait until your game's out before you start revealing, like, what people can expect.
Yeah, and it is a lot of that psychology of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if this sort of PR launch mess is the sixth monster?
Wah.
Somehow it all turns into, you just turn into this rolling ball of, yeah, of mistakes.
I mean, it's on a case-by-case basis, because there have been games that sold you keys to unlock content that was already on your disc, and that's the worst. Like, there's nothing worse than this, but in the case of Turtle Rock, like, you know, Left 4 Dead, incredible. Like, yeah, they're a developer that I think has a good track record, and I'm inclined to, you know, in this instance, sort of take their word.
And, you know, for me, like, I don't even care what's on the disc, as long as what I get for the $60 is good. Like, sure, as long as that's as long as I don't play that and go like, hey, that was okay, but there should have, like, it just wasn't enough variety. Yep. It got old really quick. Then, like, that, then that's a problem. Like, if they are, you know, sectioning stuff off. But if not, then it's just a matter of perception.
How long do rounds in Evolve last?
The ones I've played have been like maybe 15 minutes tops. Yeah.
That's the whole, like, from start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends. I've had rounds where the monsters crush us right away, and then I had other rounds that just went on forever. They do have a finite amount of time, though.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah,
like,
it's
the
timed, right?
Yeah. Once the monster hits the third tier, like, it's pretty much over. It's like, if you let the monster get that far, you're in a lot of trouble.
Cool.
Don't tell me what I can't do. I'm gonna fight only third tier monsters now.
All right, this week Microsoft held a Windows 10 event,
yep,
which people were really interested in. I was surprised. one of the things they announced is that Xbox One is gaining the ability to stream games to Windows 10 PCs and tablets.
Yeah, yes. The PC Master Race was super jazzed about this news.
And it's disappointing that Microsoft seems to be putting more effort into making Windows PCs into accessories for Xbox Ones than it is in making PC gaming a better PC, like Windows, a better platform for PC gaming. I mean, they did add the ability to do kind of the, you know, Xbox record that kind of capture, where it captures the last 30 seconds worth of game footage, which is nice. Yeah, there are already programs that do that, but it's kind of nice to have it baked in at the OS level so that everybody can do it and it's easy.
Mm-hmm. They did say in a Q&A that they're looking into the streaming going the other direction. Mm-hmm. You know, streaming a PC game if you have an Xbox One, you know, using the Xbox One to broadcast that.
I would be really shocked if they do that, because that would basically be money in Valve's pocket. I mean, like, that would be opening up competition for playing games on your Xbox One. Like, I can buy it from the Xbox Store digitally, or I can go to Steam and get it $10 cheaper, sure, and then stream it to my
Xbox
One.
They would probably try to limit it to, like...
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would just be official Windows apps or whatever.
Yeah, I know, it would be like Fable Legends.
Sure. Yeah, and I also, the only other sort of caveat about that you can stream Xbox games to your PC is that they count, you know, surfaces and devices like that as PCs.
Yeah.
Like, they lump them into that category, so... you know, those are devices that, sure, it's very silly that if you have some badass gaming PC, like, no, it makes absolutely no sense to stream Xbox One games to it. But if you have a PC tablet or something like that, then suddenly this becomes more cool, and it's something more akin to, you know, the work that Sony's been doing in screen mirroring.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's a use case example? Like, why would you stream it to your tablet?
Well, it's the exact same thing as you see with the Wii U gamepad, as you see with, you know, in-home streaming for PlayStation to Vita. You know, say somebody wants to watch TV and you want to play a game at the same time. That's just a second way to access your Xbox One and play games if the TV is being used. Or say you want to play lying in bed. Like, fine.
I actually use my gamepad. That's one of the things that surprised me. I never expected to use the Wii U gamepad at the screen. Mm-hmm. And I use it all the time, actually, almost as much as I watch you play games on the television.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, though. The Wii U gamepad is a different streaming technology than any of the other ones, because that is a direct connection between the Wii U and the gamepad.
Yeah, it's proprietary.
Which makes it much smoother. Like, there's a lot less latency.
Yeah.
Even like with Steam's in-home streaming, you know, I've messed with that a little bit. That currently requires you to stream from one PC to another, which is kind of the same situation. But like the latency is such that...
Professor Latency.
Yes.
I've got it!
That's really good, Professor Latency.
But the latency is enough that you wouldn't want to play Street Fighter, you wouldn't want to play a platformer, you wouldn't want to play like Super Meat Boy on that, you wouldn't want to play Nidhogg, you wouldn't want to play Call of Duty competitively. You know, maybe you can get away with a single player.
Oh, man, that Space Chem. I'd play that. Yep. Some other weird puzzle game.
I mean, like something like Dragon Age though works fine.
Sure.
Something like XCOM works great. Like I've been playing with the NVIDIA Shield handheld. I was playing some Dragon Age and XCOM on that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it still has hiccups once in a while. Whereas the Wii U gamepad is really smooth because it's a direct connection. It's not going through your router. Mm-hmm. It's not introducing a bunch of lag. But you have to be within 20 feet of your Wii U.
An underrated piece of technology.
I do not have more than 20 feet in the life I own in San Francisco.
That's true. We don't think about Nintendo as like a technology company, but the Wii U does some interesting stuff. Like they solve problems that like no one else has really been able to figure out yet.
Yep.
So this brings the Xbox One like up to parity with the other. So they all have like an ability to stream to
some form of
alternative screen now.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that functionality ends up being used. I guess you say use it on Wii U a lot.
Yeah, but only the Wii U.
Yeah. I think it's going to be less than either of the other two because, I mean, you have to have a fully functioning PC, a laptop, something like that. Mm. Whereas the others, you can stream to either an included gamepad
or the Vita,
Vita, which is $200.
Fully armed and operational
right.
PC.
I mean, what they would be great if they would do is let you stream it to, a tablet.
Yep.
Like just an iPad.
I thought that was the idea, though.
You can't stream it to an iPad. You can stream it to
like a Windows.
You can stream it to a Surface.
It has Windows 10.
Right. I don't know if you can stream it. I don't know if it works on Windows RT or whatever the equivalent for that will be.
I assume it's only Windows 10. You know,
But I mean, they had like the cheaper Surfaces that ran Windows RT. It was on an ARM instead of Intel or AMD. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll work on that, and nobody owns those anyway.
What if you could stream it to any actual window in your house?
That'd be good.
Yeah, like a kitchen window or a bathroom window.
What other windows are there?
There's a living room window.
Okay.
My door has a window in it.
I mean, conceivably, like I guess the PlayStation streaming lets you stream from outside your house. Like you could.
Yeah, in theory, you could bring your Vita across the country and stream from your house
over Wi-Fi.
Yeah. That's actually what the movie Theory of Everything is about.
That is.
But
how do you see this movie now?
Yeah. So conceivably, I think they said this only works on a local network, but conceivably they could open it up to allow you to do that. But again, the experience is going to be worse the further away you get, just because of latency.
Yep. Yep.
Because latency.
Thanks a lot, latency.
Yeah. All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
The listener emails are on my desk. So if you guys will just wait one moment, I will be right back. All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like Miguel did. He says, long time, first time.
Ooh.
I recently started playing the Assassin's Creed games.
Uh-huh.
I know, pretty late to the party. It's been a franchise that I've typically been ignoring just because it never caught my interest. Finally gave it a shot after years of my friend recommending it. I was completely blindsided by the Desmond Miles story and the whole Abstergo and Animus situation he's in. I had no idea that any of this was happening
Miguel's
in the game.
Miguel's the last one!
It was a pleasant surprise that made the plot of the story more interesting.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Am I in the minority here, thinking that the Miles and Abstergo situation makes the game more interesting, and that's why most marketing efforts and news stories don't mention that side plot? On that same note, do you have any gaming experiences where you were surprised? Anyway,
I'll tell you.
I just love the idea of somebody today playing Assassin's
Miguel,
Creed and having
this movie
no idea.
You need to check out. It's called The Sixth Sense. It's gonna blow your mind.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how, like, has Miguel only played one? because there's a reason people soured on
them. Yeah, sorry, I skipped up. He says, I'm now on to Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh.
Yeah. It seems like a pretty big part of the overarching story.
It is. Miguel, prepare to be disappointed. Yeah, I was a big fan of the... I'm still just really shocked.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I was a big fan of the original... The sort of meta-narrative in the original Assassin's Creed. I thought that was interesting.
The originals was awesome.
Yeah, but then I think it definitely spiraled out of control, and by the time sort of 2 Brotherhood and Revelations came around, I just wanted to go around, like, run around the cool cities and stab people.
Yep.
There just wasn't enough to do in that.
There wasn't enough to do, and they definitely, it kind of suffered from, like, Lost Syndrome, where it posed a lot of questions and didn't know how to answer them. And the reason you don't hear about it now is because it doesn't exist anymore.
It's also, like, it got really bogged down with it. Like, yeah. I feel like, I mean, I don't know what Ubisoft had going on, but the sense that I got was that they felt like they couldn't escape from it anymore. Like,
there's just so much, I forgot all this stuff happened. It's all the weirdest.
It's Creed 2.
Yeah.
I made this video with
congrats. Destin. Congrats, you did so good. That's Rodrigo Borgia.
Also known as the Pope.
Yep.
But to answer Miguel's question, I think typically most people aren't super crazy about it. Like, I always thought just the idea of playing an assassin in historical times was like, enough. Right. That's all I need related. To do.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy. It's like, it's so unnecessary. Even though it's totally fine in Assassin's Creed 1 and interesting, like, no one ever has given me a convincing answer for why.
Yeah.
Like, what purpose does it serve?
Yeah, I mean, like, initially, like, I was convinced they were going to, like, eventually have, like, Desmond become, like, a modern-day assassin.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
It's like, that would have been cool. No, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They did not do that.
So, like, the idea of you can still keep, you know, sort of the fake history of Templars and assassins and, you know, these superhuman items and the pieces of Eden. All of that can exist without the modern-day stuff. Because all you would need to do, like, keep every game the same, but then say, all right, now, you know, it's a new chapter in the Templars versus Assassins battle. Like, all that would have been awesome. You know, there's no need for the framing device. Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, they've sort of been minimizing it. Every single game has had a little bit less than the one before it for 3 or 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
And, like, they eventually just kind of sever the tie with Desmond, and it's like, now anybody can go into anybody's memory.
I mean, so. Unity is by far the thinnest that
oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
modern day
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Black Flag reigned it back, and then Unity is definitely the thinnest. I haven't played Rogue yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, Rogue is just like Black Flag.
Yeah.
You're walking around with the same PDA.
Gotcha.
His other question is, on the same note, do you have any gaming experiences where you were surprised by the way the story was actually unfolding that added to the enjoyment of the game?
Like any big twists?
BioShock?
Yeah. Yeah, there were certain things...
Was that the original?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that one was like, for me, like the all-time best game twist. Like,
yeah.
That was an amazing...
feature on best game twists.
Yeah,
I like that.
Just ruin everybody. Yeah. Ruin Miguel's day.
Just have it be just like curved thing, like curved weapons. Like, oh, the old twisty spring from Mario.
Now I'm thinking, though, I think of like Assassin's Creed trailers. The trailers usually are solely focused on the historical aspects, right? Yep. They don't ever show the modern day times.
Yep.
So I guess I can understand why he never thought.
So I remember, I actually have a vivid memory before Assassin's Creed 1 came out, the E3 it was revealed in, you can see like some artifacts in the background of that trailer and like DNA strands and stuff like that. And people are already like, is this game going to have like a weird futuristic element? Like, is it going to turn out? And so, I mean, they were hiding it. They were at least coy about it back then. But even from moment one, like, there were already some elements.
Especially
like
Unity and Black Flag were presented as games about the French Revolution and piracy.
Yep.
That was what they were presented as.
Yeah.
I liked playing through the beginning of The Last of Us before anyone had spoiled that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really cool opening that I did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there are certain games where if something's narrative focused, I definitely want to try to get in as early as possible so that no one's going to spoil anything for me.
All right, I think we've got time for one or two more emails here.
Yeah.
This is George Brazil.
Hey.
Brazil.
Is he related to Darren?
My question is inspired by my love of Shenmue 1 and 2.
I like them too, except for 2. It was not good.
I am well aware that Shenmue 3 will never see the light of day.
Ooh.
I will probably never find out how the story ends. A great frustration for a longtime fan. My question is, at what point should a game developer just release the story details of an unfinished game series to give their fans closure? Seems like a cheap disservice to Sega's fans by not releasing the details in some form, as they clearly have no intentions of releasing it as a game. Imagine the outrage if J.K. Rowling or George R.R. Martin just didn't bother to finish their book series.
Well.
Or imagine if Valve just didn't bother to finish the Half-Life series.
Yeah, I mean, that. So that's a super cool idea that assumes that they know, that they have it all plotted out. Like sometimes you find it through the process of making it. Sure. Like, and it can change over time. So it's like in Valve's case, like I don't know how much they know about what Half-Life 3 is going to be or would have been, or how much that's changed from 10 years ago to now. You know, so that's one thing to consider.
Yeah, like I guarantee you, Valve has you know built and rebuilt Half-Life 3 like four times.
Probably, yeah. But as far as Shenmue goes, who knows how much of a Shenmue 3 existed?
And who's even the keeper of that? Like
Yu Suzuki.
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say. But he's not at Sega anymore, right? So
no, but I mean, no one's. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I imagine that there was an original design doc. Like, I feel like if you have this idea for an overarching story in mind, you probably wrote down the general beats. I like this term, general beats. I'm gonna make a game about soldiers
rhythm game.
Who are inter. Yeah.
General beats. So he'll be in like DJ, he'll be in like his fatigues and have like some headphones around his shoulder.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm sure that exists somewhere. It would be cool too. That this whole time I've been thinking in some. I don't think it was a game, but in some medium, this happened. Something got canceled.
You see stuff like this all the time. That's what I was going to bring up, is television shows get canceled and they continue in comics. Joss Whedon has always done that with a lot of his stuff. Yeah. You know? So there are, you know, we're getting better and better about franchises being cross-medium and, you know, in this new media landscape that we live in.
Can you imagine if there had been no Halo 3?
Things don't really end anymore, ever. Like, if it's got, like, a loyal enough fan base, even if it's small, like, it does continue.
But Shenmue didn't.
Things don't end. Asterisks, except for Shenmue.
This guy was not a loyal enough fan, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's all...
He needed to clone himself.
It's all George's fault.
do you think Yu Suzuki would, like... Is he the owner of Shenmue?
I mean, or, like... No, I imagine Sega still...
Yeah, Sega.
Technically.
But I just wonder, like... If he had a story, if he had an idea of how to end it,
if he could just like release it.
As I mean,
like
I guess it's kind of like.
What my question is that if he did, not to get too morbid, but you know, as people get older, maybe like before he passed away, he would want to like share. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it probably depends on, you know, what legal agreements he signed when he left the company. Like, I'm sure all that stuff is still the intellectual property
of
Sega.
I'm on my deathbed. I don't care about legal agreements anymore.
Yeah, true.
I'm giving all the scoops.
But it's still, it's interesting, you know, from a fan's perspective to be like, oh, this is what it could have been. Yeah. But, like, George Lucas had a vision for Star Wars 7 that's different than Disney's vision. We just ran that news on IGN. So it's like, which one's the true... Like, Disney's is the one that's going to exist, but he's the guy that created, you know, that created Star Wars to begin with, so I don't know what's more valid.
He pretty much burned that bridge.
Three times.
So let's say, you know, Suzuki says, all right, here's what Shenmue 3 was going to be, and then Sega someday does make Shenmue 3, and that's the real one, and then his sort of becomes the fake one, even though that was the intention.
Then there's an alternate timeline.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened with Fallout. There was going to be a Fallout 3.
That's a good example.
That it was the Van Buren project that Interplay was working on.
Yeah, that's a totally good example. Black Isle. What I'm talking about.
And that was canned, and then Bethesda made a Fallout 3. But I guess they did eventually put out like, oh, here's they put out like a tech demo of what it was, and they put out some of the
was it more of like a top down strategy game?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
oh,
it was.
Interesting.
It was it was much more like Fallout 1 and 2 turn based.
Oh, interesting.
Although I think they had real time combat in there, which is always a terrible idea.
RTC.
But yeah, that we got to see two alternate paths of what Fallout 3 was.
I like that.
Kind of neat.
Yeah.
All right, before we go this week, what are we playing this weekend?
Ooh.
My big Friday night plan is to play Resident Evil.
Oh, spooky.
Resident Evil.
That game's so good. Did you play Remake back in the day?
Yeah. Okay. But so I haven't played it since 2002.
It's a long time.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully it holds up well.
It does.
I should go play that.
Because
I've...
Just Resident Evil Remake's one of my favorite games,
even
though I don't like spookies. I don't like spookies, but I love Metroidvanias, so it's like, well.
I never actually played through the whole thing. I played through chunks of it at friends' houses because I never had a PlayStation, but or GameCube or whatever. Yeah.
It was on seven consoles. You never had a Saturn?
No.
Never had a Wii? Never had a DS?
Nope.
You know, now you got five things you can play on.
I've got three different consoles that play that game right now. Two consoles and a PC.
Personal computer.
But I'm going back to the XCOM. Well, Justin's been watching me on Steam playing.
How many
XCOM
hours of XCOM have you played?
Steam says over 400, but some of that is some of that is
the Earth even 400 hours old?
Some of that is like So I am a habitual alt tabber, yeah. So I'll go do something else for a little while, and that keeps
Scientists
counting up.
Scientists are unsure.
But I got
it's
I got
the
into
one that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, well this is XCOM Enemy Within, which is the expansion to XCOM Enemy Unknown. But I've also got the Long War mod attached to it, which is which makes it a pretty crazy deep,
even
brutally. Kind of
yeah.
Oh, it's real hard. There's the difficulty ramps up way faster.
I'm playing a bunch of random stuff right now. I realized, so I sorted out, I have my Steam games in one big library, and I said, let's sort these into, you know, games I've beaten, games I've played, and I had 500 games in my unplayed category, and I'm like, nah, this is not, I gotta put a stop to this. So I'm just trying out a bunch of different random stuff. So I'm playing Quantum Conundrum, Outland was, Housemarque's really cool, sort of 2D platformer that was Ikaruga-inspired.
Ikaruga platformer.
Dust and Elysian Tale.
Yeah, that feels great.
Not so much on PC, though. That one's a little bit janky on PC.
Oh, I haven't had any trouble with it.
I think when it came out, it was in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't experienced that. Call of War has Gunslinger. Like, really sort of really just like games that I know are, like, relatively short. And, you know, if I don't like them, I put them down. But I have gotten through several of them. So I'm going to get that 500 number down.
Down to zero. It's like this year's. It's like zero inbox.
Yeah. I thought about doing a show where I just picked a new Steam game each day and just played it for a while.
Problem is that number just grows faster than you can shrink it.
Yeah, I bought a couple indie bundles and now I'm at like 520. I'm like, wow.
You'll die. That's a scary death.
What's Marty gonna play?
Like you, I'm playing a couple old games that are new again. I'm playing Majora's Mask for 3DS for review.
Yeah. Are you enjoying that, by the way?
I am. Yeah. I'm a big Majora's Mask fan. Okay. So. Not too far into it, but yeah, definitely still enjoying it. And Grim Fandango on PS4.
That one's out now, right?
No,
it comes out on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. So
I missed that one, so I'm super excited. Yeah. We brought it up on GameScoop before. That insanely, that's a game you couldn't buy anywhere. Not on Good Old Games.
Yep.
There was no like legal way to play it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's actually been a hole in my. You know, experience as well. Like I was never a big adventure gamer. I kind of came to it late. My wife has played that, and I haven't played it.
What?
It's like such a foreign concept. Like obviously there's Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition now, but before that existed, this is a game that's 20 years old. I want to play it. Like, it doesn't even cross your mind that there's not a way to give someone money in exchange that for the game you want to play. But Grim Fandango is one of those weird games.
Fun fact, 25% of this panel thinks it's the greatest game of all time. That's me. Or my favorite, not the greatest. That's Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
obviously.
Obviously. All right, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Marty. Mm-hmm. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.